Welcome back to Presenting Pixie Dust. Do you think we should have a theme song? I think we need a theme song.
I think we just found it.
I think that it's been enough time now. We've had enough episodes out that we definitely need a theme song. We should workshop a few. Maybe next week we'll come back with something else.
Something really dramatic.
Presenting Pixie Dust. I think that one's copyrighted. I'm not sure that we can use that particular piece of music, although it definitely sets a mood. And speaking of moods, today we are talking about Pinocchio.
Yeah.
The 1940 Disney classic Pinocchio. And I'm Elizabeth Carr. I'm here today with Brett Harvey again.
Hi.
Even though we can have other people over to our house, we're choosing not to. And Brett's back again to talk Pinocchio with us today.
Yeah.
You excited, Brett?
Yeah, look, it was a really, straight off the bat, it was a really interesting movie.
Look, interesting, I think, is a really good word to describe it.
Because I couldn't say that I liked all of it. There were moments there I was just going like, what?
What is going on?
What is going on? But there were also some really lovely moments as well.
Sure. Well, this episode was actually a request, a very early request from one of our listeners, Willow.
Mm.
Gorgeous girl. Hi, Willow. Shout out to Willow.
Hi, Willow.
This episode is for you because you wanted Pinocchio, so here it is, Pinocchio. So, you ready for some statistics and some fun facts?
Fun facts, yeah.
Fantastic. So, this movie premiered on February 7th, 1940.
Wow. 1940. Hang on. Let's do the math on that.
Do the math.
So, we're looking at 80 years ago.
Just gone 80 years. 80 years ago it premiered. Which means that they must have been working on animations and stuff for it for many, many years before that.
Yep.
Probably like 5 years before that. But it premiered on February 7th, 1940. The movie runs for 88 minutes. So it's, we're looking at about that 1.5 hour mark. It has a 7.4 on IMDb. And wait for this.
Yeah.
100%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
100%. It is one of the very few movies on Rotten Tomatoes that is rated 100%.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Like 100%.
100%,
like,
yeah.
Like how many reviews is...
I think it was something like 52 because there's two scores on Rotten Tomatoes. There's like a critic's score and an audience score.
Okay.
So I think the audience score came up similarly to IMDb, which would be sort of predictable being as IMDb is voted for by people too.
Yeah.
By fans, by anyone. And the critic's score on Rotten Tomatoes is 100%, which brings us... higher than Cinderella, because that was sort of our benchmark, wasn't it? Cinderella was 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, but this one has hit 100%.
Wow. Did they see the same movie I saw?
I'm not... Look, I'm assuming so. Well, I think we'll get into our fun facts before we talk about what we thought of the movie. All right, fun fact number one. This is Disney's second full-length feature film after Snow White.
Yeah.
So Snow White premiered in 1938. This one came out in 1940. And yeah, second full-length feature film.
That's incredible.
They did have, I think, quite a lot of hype because Snow White was such a success, such a huge success. And we haven't done a podcast on Snow White yet, but we might have to do that one pretty soon. But there was, such a huge success from Snow White that it's always like, it's like the second album when the first album has been such a hit, like the breakthrough debut album, and then the artist has to come out with something just as good for the second one. And quite often they don't quite get there with capturing the magic of the first one. So, yeah, second full-length feature film. Fun fact number two, during the musical number, When You Wish Upon a Star, when a spotlight is seen on Jiminy Cricket, you are able to see two books on the left-hand side of the screen, which are Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland. Walt Disney had started developing these two stories for the big screen at the time of this film's release, and they would be released respectively in 1953 and 1951.
Yeah.
Both after Cinderella.
So that was a bit of a nod to what was going to
come. It's like an Easter egg, I suppose. Yeah. Just say, these are in production. Fun fact number three, the animators had a difficult time choosing how to animate Geppetto because early models of him looked a lot like Doc from Snow White.
Mm.
So eventually they decided to model him after his voice actor, whose name was Christian Rubb.
Christian Rubb?
Christian Rubb.
Well, tell you what, Geppetto was an interesting character.
You know, I think they were all interesting characters.
Yeah. So when you say they modelled on him, they got live action and did that?
Well,
because to me it didn't look like they had done that.
Really?
He almost looked like a marionette himself.
Yeah, well, they had spoken, the animators had spoken, particularly with the animating of Pinocchio, that they weren't sure how to animate him, if they were going to animate him like a puppet, like, and have him move like a puppet, or if they were going to animate him like a person and have him move. And they sort of went sort of halfway in between in the end. But Geppetto, maybe Geppetto was in the, well, they would have had the same animators sort of all working together. So
it was quite a team of animators.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I counted about, you know, 25, 30 names on the screen.
In the credits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This, you'll love this one. So fun fact number four, the scene in Geppetto's workshop features lots of clocks, lots of cuckoo clocks, which were actually all built into working models in real life by some of the animators. And they did it partly because Walt would look at some of their designs and say, oh, that's never going to work.
Mm.
And they would build a working model just to prove to him that it would work if they did it. Yeah,
literally would work.
Literally would work. Yeah, absolutely. But those clocks are amazing when you saw all the different designs.
Yeah,
and
it was impressive.
Yeah. And the, you know.
Highlight, I think.
They have some of those clocks that you think, oh, would that get on TV in 2020? Like the one of the woman smacking the boy's bare bottom, and the one of the, like, the guy falling drunk out of the building on the clock. It was just, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
I think with these old movies, you see that it's definitely come from a different time.
Yeah. There was a good funny one too, which was, there was a chicken whose neck was on the block, and as the,
the turkey,
as the, as the axe came down, he pulled his head out of the way. Yeah, that was quite funny.
I wonder where those clocks ended up.
The thing I was thinking was, like, you know, is there a place at Disney World or Disneyland that has these clocks? Because
Geppetto's Workshop.
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea for a shop, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Geppetto's Workshop, and they sell all these, like, marionette puppets and cuckoo clocks.
Yeah, I'd be there.
I know you would.
Yep.
I'm surprised you haven't been out in the shed building a cuckoo clock this morning, being so inspired. But no, I think that they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And it would be cool to be able to see some of them. I'm just wondering where they ended up, because I know that we were watching, Prop Culture, I think it's called, on Disney Plus, where they talk about the props from the different movies and where they've ended up. And they had said that, you know, most of the props from these really old movies, they just got rid of because they didn't think that they would be important.
Yeah, they were just a prop then. They weren't collector's items.
No, so there's only like one of the chimney sweep brooms left from Mary Poppins, and, you know, things like that, because they didn't keep anything then. They just use them, and they would probably have repurposed them, broken them down and reused things for something else. So none of those clocks probably exist. Or they're in someone's house. That's the other, you know, the descendants of these animators. They're probably sitting in their houses.
I think that's the thing about, you know, animated movies as well, that I think the things that actually have been kept are like the frames from the animation.
The stills.
Yeah, and so they don't have physical props per se, but they have those relics left behind.
Yeah.
And a lot of them would have been used and reused, and some probably got thrown out. And they would have just kept the ones that they thought were the best.
Well, they used to reuse animation sequences all the time to save money so that they wouldn't have to do it.
Also, there's
Well, yeah, not just backgrounds, but actual animation sequences. So I think that it was Sleeping Beauty. There's an animation sequence of them dancing, Sleeping Beauty and the Prince.
Mm.
And then the exact same animation sequence of the dancing is used in Robin Hood, when Robin and Maid Marian are dancing. You see, like, all the turns are the same. I think they did that to save money. If you know a sequence works, you can just copy it with new characters.
Put a different head on the body.
Exactly. Yeah. Put a fox. Speaking of foxes.
A fox, yeah. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. All right. Fun fact number five. Of all the characters in Pinocchio, Figaro the cat was Walt's favourite. He loved him so much that he pushed for the adorable kitten to appear in the film as much as possible.
Yeah.
And once production was over, he decided to make Figaro a companion for Minnie Mouse. So she used to have a Cocker Spaniel as her sort of friend, her pet, like Mickey had Pluto. Minnie had a Cocker Spaniel. And the dog was replaced with Figaro from then on. So even if you watch Minnie Mouse cartoons now, she's still got Figaro as her as her little pet. He's very cute, Figaro. He was definitely a high point of that movie, that little cat.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, fun fact number six. Pinocchio holds the distinct honor of being the first Disney film to win an Oscar for both musical categories. It's Best Score and Best Song for When You Wish Upon a Star. The dual win wouldn't be received by the studio again until Mary Poppins in 1965.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Well, when you wish upon a star is like the Disney song.
Yeah, it is.
When you think about it. And it's so interesting because it doesn't appear during the movie. It's like in the intro and the outro of the movie. It's sort of like My Heart Will Go On for Titanic, where it was such like the huge Titanic song, and at no point during the movie did it actually happen. Mm. It was just, you know, at the end. Nice little theme song. When You Wish Upon a Star is kind of that same thing, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good song.
It's a great song.
Lovely song.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, fun fact number 7. When the Disney animators were working on the underwater effects in The Little Mermaid, they used the Monstro scenes from Pinocchio as a reference point.
Ah.
Which you can really tell, like when watching, because The Little Mermaid is my favorite Disney movie, watching these Monstro scenes, you can sort of see that it's done in the same style.
Mm.
Yeah. And lucky last, number 8. Initially, this movie lost money. Yeah. When it was released, before it picked up traction. In its first release, it only made about a tenth of what Snow White made.
Mm.
But Walt believed that it may have been due to the release of Gone with the Wind, because that had premiered 2 months earlier, and that may have impacted Pinocchio's takings at the theatre.
Yeah.
Which I suppose could be true.
The 40s, to me, just seemed like a pretty heavy time in history.
Yeah.
You know, after the Second World War, preceding the Second World War. And
well, the Second World War would have been going on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Not in the US though, because obviously they didn't get involved. They didn't come until later. Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. It would have been the threat of war, and I think people probably wouldn't have been so carefree.
And I think that if people are going to see a movie and they're going to see one movie, Gone with the Wind versus Pinocchio.
Yeah.
You're probably going to go and see Gone with the Wind.
Mm.
Really? Which is an amazing movie. Oh, I love that movie. I love that book. I love that movie. So good. And that wraps up our fun facts.
Yeah.
Did you learn something?
I did.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad.
All right. This whole movie's been a learning experience.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So let's talk about the film.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. I don't think I saw a tobacco depictions warning at the start of the film. And I tell you what, this film had them more smoking in it, cigars and pipe smoking, than I reckon any other Disney movie combined.
Oh, definitely.
Movies, yeah.
Definitely. So when this movie opens, we have the beautiful opening credits with When You Wish Upon a Star, which is a really lovely way to start. And then we meet Jiminy Cricket, and he breaks the fourth wall straight up.
Yeah.
So he starts talking, and if you don't know what breaking the fourth wall means, it's a theatre term. It means when the actors sort of start to interact with the audience.
Yeah.
To show that they know that the audience is there. And Jiminy does that straight up, where he talks directly to the camera and directly to the audience that's watching. Sort of as a narrator would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the Disney movies do. They have someone introducing it as though they're telling a bedtime story.
Yeah.
And they start to tell the audience, and then it goes into the action of the scene, and it's kind of...
Yeah, sure. So the story... No, I agree with you. So the storytelling style is very different from Snow White, just straight up. So if you think about Snow White as a story... Well, I think that the hard thing about Pinocchio is that Snow White was a short story that you can build upon, whereas Pinocchio obviously comes from a book, a very old Italian novel, which is a very long story in itself. And it just kind of felt like nothing, except for the first scene, which I'll talk about in a minute. It just sort of felt like nothing was really explored very well. We just moved through things very, very quick. Do you agree?
And there were a lot of elements of the story that just, you know, they had no real clear explanation as to why they came to be or how they happened, really. Yeah, and we can get to that sort of stuff later. But yeah, there was, to me, the animation was terrific.
Oh, stunning.
You know, and the characterization was terrific.
But even the big panning over the village,
that
must have been a huge, absolutely gigantic piece of animation where the camera can go over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just as a landscape picture without all the characters moving in the foreground. It was just huge. And so many of these forced perspective things where you can see into spaces.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful.
Absolutely.
It was just beautiful. We do meet the blue fairy very early in the piece. I think it was a very interesting choice to make her like a fully grown woman. Because when you think fairy, you don't think...
You think Tinkerbell.
You think Tinkerbell, small. you know, little.
Teeny tiny.
Little tiny fairy. But this is not a tiny fairy. This is like a fully grown Amazonian woman.
Yeah. Though in Cinderella, you know, Bippity-Bobbity-Boo, whatever her name is.
The fairy godmother.
Yeah, she's fairly...
True, she doesn't have wings, though. She's almost kind of like a...
It's almost like they were just experimenting with what constitutes a fairy.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. Yeah. I just thought it was
Yeah, and she had the full gown on. Full gown. And...
But she was also, like, a bit transparent, yeah. So you can see through her, which I thought was nice. It was interesting.
Yeah, which, you know, at the time, you know, animators doing that, it's probably pretty... big deal.
Yeah. Well, it would have been, I just imagine it would have been quite difficult. Though I think the whole process of putting an animated movie together in 1940 without a computer was probably quite difficult. That's probably why it took so many years. Probably why it took, you know, 13 years from the Book of Peter Pan coming up in the 1940 Pinocchio for it to actually be released in 1953.
And the movie tells you it's Technicolor, which kind of...
Well, Walt owned Technicolor. Did you know that?
Mm.
So he bought Technicolor so that nobody else could have coloured animations at that time. So he bought it when they were doing Snow White, or he established it. I don't know exactly, but he was the owner of Technicolor. Mm. So I don't know if by 1940 other people were doing it, but certainly for Snow White in 1938, they were not.
Mm. It starts off with, you know, a lot of, I'm not going to say time wasting, but like... There was a bit of...
I'm not going to not say it, though.
No, but it reminded me a little bit of... You know when we talked about Cinderella and we said that there was a lot of stuff with the cat and mouse back and forth,
mm-hmm.
all of that kind of kiddie stuff? There was a lot of that at the start of this as well, and parts of it which was, you know, it was fun, it was lighthearted, but, you know, it didn't have any great meaning to the story. But, yeah, I just thought it was really interesting that they start off in a similar kind of fashion.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting that they really spell out the moral lessons very, very clearly. Like, yeah. There's no inference. It's spoken.
Yeah.
You know, they say, you know, don't tell lies. Be a good boy. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Did you write down exactly what the lessons
were? Blue Fairy said, "You have given so much good to others." This is to Geppetto while he's sleeping. "You deserve to have your wish come true." Which I think is really nice.
That was really nice. Was that before or after he pulled a gun out from under his pillow and started like running around?
This is before.
Before that, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really interesting that, you know, that if you do good in the world, you deserve to have your dreams come true.
Yeah, that is nice.
Rather than just merely wishing for something and getting it.
And getting it.
You know. And then, of course, she makes Pinocchio come alive. And he's a real boy.
He wants to be a real boy.
And she says, yeah, if you're brave, truthful, and unselfish, those are the three moral substrates.
They'd be good school values. Bravery, honesty, unselfishness. Mm. They'd be really good school values.
Yeah, so, you know, he comes alive, yeah, and then and then Geppetto gets the old
gun out. This was the first moment where we looked at each other and went, what, did that just happen?
Yeah. Do people just have guns under their beds? And we had a joke was... It was an Italian story, but it's animated by Americans. So maybe there's some gun, you know, stuff in
gun
there. Who knows? But what we jumped over, which was really funny, Geppetto smokes a pipe in bed. Yes. He goes to bed, smokes a pipe. And I just thought...
Seems unsafe.
Yeah.
That was the first time where you went, oh, did they mention tobacco depictions?
Yeah.
No, they did not. I saw.
I do like the comical bit where... Jiminy Cricket can't get to sleep because of all the clocks, all the cuckoo clocks tick-tocking. You know, there's like 1,000 clocks in this room.
Definitely.
And Geppetto's snoring as well.
And so's the cat.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, very
good
cute.
Good fun.
Yeah, it was cute. This was a really long opening scene. I clocked it at 27 minutes.
Yeah.
27 minutes of just that opening scene where we don't move anywhere. We're just with Geppetto and Pinocchio comes alive and everything. 27 minutes. It was a really long time. We spent a lot of time there. Maybe that's why... Well, 27 minutes of an 88-minute movie.
Yep.
It's like a third of it.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
But look, I wrote down here at this point in time, the shadow animators are the MVPs of the movie.
I didn't even notice the shadows.
Yeah. Oh, like, they were incredible. Look at these beautiful, you know, when Jiminy Cricket's walking in front of the fireplace and these big elongated shadows and every moving object had a shadow.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, no, it was incredible. Yeah, really good. Right throughout the whole movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we cross to the next day. Geppetto's sending Pinocchio to school.
Mm.
First of all, as a teacher, I sit there and I think, you're really going to send this toy to school with no explanation to the teacher about a talking puppet turning up in her classroom or his classroom. Yeah. He doesn't know where the school is, this puppet. You're just giving him an apple and a book and sending him on his way. Go to school, Pinocchio. Go to school.
I wrote down that I thought the enrollment process in Italy must be pretty loose.
You've got to go to school tomorrow. You've literally been a talking puppet for about, 35
several
seconds.
Hours.
And now you've got to go to school because that's what good boys do.
Yeah.
But I did like that message. You've got to go to school. That's what good children do.
Yeah.
They go to school.
And he doesn't get to school.
No, he never gets to school.
And then later on in the movie, there's a letter and he can't read it because he hasn't been to school.
He hasn't been to school, no.
So there's a little lesson there for you kiddies.
Then we meet the first lot of villains.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many villains in this movie. There's like seven villains. So we meet the first lot, which are Honest John and Gideon. Mm. The interesting thing about Honest John and Gideon being that up to this point, we are in this world with all these humans.
Yep.
We have Jiminy Cricket, who's a talking cricket.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything else seems legit, right? We've got people and the cat, it's the cat's name, Figaro. Figaro the cat doesn't talk.
No.
Cleo the fish doesn't talk. No. None of the animals are talking except for Jiminy. And then we see these two giant man-human-sized fox and cat just strolling down the street chatting.
And they're walking like humans.
Yep.
On
and
two feet.
They're wearing
two
clothes.
Feet. They're bipedal.
Yep. It just seemed really odd. And I haven't read the book and I should have done a bit more research into this. And if you do know this, please let us know. Please, send us a Facebook message and let us know. Are they a fox and a cat in the book? Because that is the only way that this makes sense to me. That if in the novel they are a fox and a cat.
Mm.
Because otherwise that was the first, I can get on board with a lot of things. Especially in an animated movie, if this is the world that you've established. But they came out and I just went, what is going on? What? Is nobody seeing this? It's like a fox and a cat walking down.
Yeah.
Everyone's okay with this? This is a normal thing for this town in Italy? I just thought it was odd.
And we could tell he was the bad guy too because he had a scowl and very evil-looking eyebrows.
Well, it's all about the eyebrows,
very
isn't
Jafar.
It? Yeah, very Jafari eyebrows.
Yeah.
Very expressive eyebrows.
And his name was Honest John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Honest John. And the cat's name was Gideon,
yeah,
who doesn't talk at all. He just sort of...
But they convince Pinocchio to join the theatre. And I'm thinking, that's not a bad thing to do.
The theatre is the easy road to success. That's what they say.
Yes.
Now, if you're in theatre, you will know that the theatre is not the easy road to success. But I thought that was quite funny.
There's a few little jabs in there. They mention, they mention something about actors. Maybe I've written it later on in my notes.
But, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, here it is. Yeah. What does an actor want with a conscience anyway? And I thought...
Fair call.
These writers are having some serious jabs.
Fair call. And poor Jiminy Cricket, who is the worst conscience ever because he's always losing Pinocchio and he's always just leaving him as well. Yeah. He's the worst conscience.
And he's like, I guess he doesn't need me now anyway.
Yeah. And off he trots. Like, you've got a job to do.
Yeah.
The Blue Fairy's given you a job.
Yep.
Ridiculous. Honest John convinces Pinocchio to go and join the theatre and he sells him to Stromboli, who is the second villain of this movie,
dun, dun, dun.
And runs a traveling show, puppet show.
Yeah.
So he has him for that, and I have a vivid memory.
Yep.
And I don't know, and my sisters, Emily would know. Emily would definitely know. But I have a vivid memory of a video game that I played when I was younger with the dancing marionettes in it. And I don't know what the video game was, but I can vividly remember you had to control the marionettes and do certain dance moves to pass the level.
Yeah.
And Emily, if you're listening and you can let me know what that video game was, because as I was watching it last night, I just kept having flashbacks to this game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was probably on Nintendo, the first Nintendo. It wouldn't have been on anything recent. Maybe a Super Nintendo, probably. I also feel like Walt Disney should have voiced Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
Because Jiminy's always coming out with these beautiful, like, philosophical words when he's not, you know, ditching Pinocchio and deciding he doesn't want to be with him anymore. I feel like it would have been really nice to have had Walt Disney voice him, to have Walt's voice as the voice of the conscience. Yeah. I just thought that as I was watching it was just a thought that I had.
Mm. So Stromboli steals him away,
mm-hmm.
kidnaps him, puts him in a cage.
Puppet-naps him.
Oh, before that, like, there was just a couple of little things, like when he was dancing on stage, Pinocchio was dancing on stage and his legs are flipping about in ways that his legs would not be able to do.
Because that's not how hinges work.
Yeah, that's not how hinges work. And I'm just like, damn it, Disney, you had me till then.
That's the part that you...
I can believe talking crickets. I can believe talking foxes.
Like man-sized
bipedal yes. talking
foxes.
I can accept that. Okay. But hinges that don't work properly...
Nah, you were done with that. And the sexy marionettes who were dancing
yeah.
with him.
Oh, yeah.
Very sexy marionette
puppets. Yeah, I blushed.
So the blue fairy, you know, gets Pinocchio out of trouble. She says that it's the last time I'm going to help you.
Yep.
And that's when his nose grows and, you know.
He tells some lies.
Tells some lies
and his nose grows.
It's interesting that's the only point in the movie where that happens.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's never explained in the first place.
No, it does explain why that happens.
Like, she never gives him a foreboding warning saying, you know, don't tell lies or your nose will grow. Gets mentioned.
She did say that when you tell a lie, it gets bigger and bigger until it's as plain as the nose on your face.
Yeah.
That's the line.
But when did she say that?
When it's growing, when his nose
is
growing.
Yeah, but only at the time.
Like, yeah, only at the time. And then we never mention it again.
No.
That's it. No. We never mention it again.
But he's known as Pinocchio Nose.
Pinocchio Nose?
Yeah, that's his new name. That's
my pet
name
your
for
pet
him.
Name
yeah.
for Pinocchio. Yeah. And then he's on his way back home.
Mm.
Pinocchio is on his way back home because he gets out of the truck. He's on his way back home. And then we find Honest John talking to this other guy.
Yeah.
This like really bad guy whose name I didn't write down because I didn't hear it. Was it like the coachman or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. He's just a really horrible looking guy. And he says that he steals naughty little boys and takes them away. And Pinocchio gets mixed up with that. But this I think is the most horrifying part
of
the movie.
He says, we're going to take you kids to Pleasure Island.
I steal naughty little boys and I take them to Pleasure Island.
Like,
oh, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound nice.
I know, and just sort of there's this whole process of indentured servitude. You know, it's like a slave trade. They put them on a paddle steamer.
Yeah.
And they paddle steam them to an island.
Where everything is like mental. There's a, what was it? I wrote it down. So there's the model home section of Pleasure Island where you can just wreck everything. There's Tobacco Land, which is full of cigars and you just
and
get
beer.
To smoke. Yeah, and then there's a pub. So Pinocchio meets this kid, Lampwick, who's got like these huge buck teeth and he's just a bit of a dropkick and like befriends him.
Mm.
And then, you know, they're just doing all these crazy things at this Pleasure Island where little boys are just destroying everything. And then we, you know, cross to the scene where Pinocchio and Lampwick are playing pool and Pinocchio is sitting there smoking. And I'm wondering about the logistics of a wooden puppet smoking. Isn't that like, what if he caught on fire? Because he did catch on fire earlier in the movie, like his finger caught on fire, but it was just odd.
Yeah. And they're breaking stuff. And then all the boys sort of disappear and we find out why. They've all turned into donkeys.
Because they're saying that they're acting like jackasses. And so they start turning into donkeys and then the donkeys are then sold to different places.
Yeah, to the circus, to the mines.
Salt mines.
Salt mines. And this is the point where I kind of get a bit like...
This is where it gets real dark.
It gets real dark, but it also gets real kind of confusing because there's no real explanation as to how they turn into donkeys.
No.
Like, it's such a strange scenario.
Yeah. It is really odd. And we have the scene where Lampwick slowly turns into a donkey.
Mm.
That's really, really scary. Imagine if you're a kid watching that. That's really, really horrible. And then Pinocchio sort of half turns into a donkey. He gets a tail and he gets ears.
And I wrote down, oh, gee, I hope they don't make this into a live action movie because that would be terrifying.
You know what? I actually think that there are plans to make this into a live action movie. It kind of reminds you a bit of like The Witches. Remember that Roald Dahl movie, that like 90s Roald Dahl movie, The Witches, where he turns into a mouse and you see like you see the process of that
bit
happening.
By bit.
Oh, horrible. Horrible, horrible. So they get out. Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket get out of Pleasure Island. And then, like, the weirdest thing happens. Like, this is probably the strangest thing. They get back to the cottage, Geppetto's cottage.
Yeah.
And they're looking for Geppetto and Figaro and Cleo, but they're all gone. And then is it Jiminy Cricket who says, he went to look for you and got swallowed by a whale? Like, I'm sorry. Like,
and then this magical letter falls from the sky.
Yes.
Which explains the situation.
That Jiminy can read, but Pinocchio can't. Yeah. He hasn't gone to school, right?
Yeah, so obviously Jiminy went to school. Good on him.
Yeah, well, he can read. He's a reading cricket. Oh. This story is so strange.
Screwy, yeah.
Really weird. And then they go to look for him. Twisty. Of course. And then I had a question while they were doing this. First of all, I loved the fact that when they went to the ocean and went under the water, that Pinocchio tied a rock to his tail to weigh him down because, of course, he's made out of wood. And
that's what you do.
You must know that there would have been discussions about this in the animated room. Like, I can only imagine the debates that would have gone, no, but he's wooden, so he's going to float. And they're like, well, then we're going to have to tie him down with something. I can just imagine those discussions. Yeah. But what I wonder about...
Forget about the hinges. Let's work on the rock and the sinking buoyancy problems.
Let me just not talk about the fact that, well, how is Jiminy Cricket staying underwater? Pinocchio doesn't need to breathe. He's a puppet, but Jiminy does. Like,
and he expels bubbles of air as well as
and
he goes.
He never once comes up and pretends like he can't breathe. But there is one moment where he gets like stuck in a bubble.
Yeah.
And he's like swimming to the top of the bubble to get some air. I'm thinking, you've been under the water for the last 10 minutes. You haven't drowned yet.
Maybe there's something about crickets and submersing them that we don't know. Maybe there's some science behind that.
Maybe.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I don't know about you, but the ocean's pretty big.
Yeah, it's, like, pretty big.
And then he manages to find the whale pretty quickly.
Well, he does.
I got to say that there's a few moments there when he's walking under the ocean where there's a whole bunch, there's, like, a sea garden with all plants and stuff like that and the beautiful bright colours. And as he walks by, they kind of and shrink and retreat into their shells or their spots and... I thought that as a scuba diver, I've seen this before, and it's just wonderful when you see that happen. And they actually animate it really well. And then there's the next moment, all these fish are following Pinocchio's through the water, and it just looks beautiful, lovely, bright colours. Yeah, so there's some really lovely spots there. It's animated very well, but there's just some unusual situations. And then you noticed something really funny.
What did I notice?
Something about the whale.
Oh, when they find the whale and it's literally just sitting at the bottom of the ocean?
Sleeping.
Sleeping at the bottom of the ocean? Like, do whales just lay on the sea floor when they sleep? Like, this, I'm not getting on board with some of this because, you know, Disney is so pedantic about its animation and about, you know, that things work out. They built all the clocks, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
But this whale is literally on its stomach. Just laying at the bottom of the ocean. And I don't know if whales do that. Maybe they do. Maybe that is how a whale sleeps. Seems unlikely, though.
Mm.
It just seemed really ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, and what kind of whale is this either? Because it's got these giant teeth.
Yeah.
These giant, giant teeth.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like it could be something like a blue whale, something really big, like a really big whale.
But the teeth...
The teeth are not
look
the
like
right
something
teeth.
Out of a killer whale.
Yeah, but it's
orca.
Definitely not a killer whale.
Because it's big enough that it swallowed a ship.
Yeah.
Because Geppetto's inside the whale's stomach.
And there's room. Like he's
sitting
not...
on a wooden ship.
Like a proper ship.
Yeah.
Like a catamaran kind of thing in there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like that size. It's pretty... Yeah. And then... Right, okay. So, Pinocchio... All right. So, there was a last thing where I just went, well, this is ridiculous. Like, I can believe all of this stuff. Like, I know that I had issues with the walking, talking fox and cat when there were no other walking, talking animals. But then when they get out eventually they get into the, Pinocchio gets into the whale and then they get out because they light a fire and the whale sneezes them out, which we know about the story of Pinocchio. Like, that's quite a well-known, I'm sorry. But then the whale's chasing them and it's literally like a jet ski on top of the water. It's not swimming to try and get them. It's like hovering on top of the ocean, like vroom, like it's like a jet ski.
Yeah.
And how are they out running or out paddling this whale? I don't know. But I just thought, magic. How on earth does this happen? It was ludicrous.
I think the magic of Disney is not the things you can believe, it's the things you can't believe.
Absolutely ludicrous. And you know what I think it was? I think that it just, and maybe this is what it happens in the book.
Yeah.
Maybe this is how it's explained in the novel.
Sure.
And I haven't read the novel, in fairness, so I'm not sure. Maybe that's my next thing I need to read, because I need to know how much of this the animators made up and how much of this was in the book.
Yeah.
As to the whale floating like a hoverboard on top of the ocean and chasing them down like that. And then the whale, they go through this tiny hole in like the rocks and the whale like bangs straight into the rocks like it couldn't have jumped them or something because it's doing all other sorts of crazy things. Like the whale just didn't see the giant rock face that it smooshed into. And then, you know, it wasn't funny. Look, it wasn't funny. But then we see Pinocchio floating face first.
Dead.
In the water.
Dead as a doornail.
How does a puppet die? He didn't drown.
Yeah, he'd be
floating. How does a puppet die?
Geppetto's sitting inside the whale on a boat fishing. He's got his cat beside him and he's got his goldfish in a bowl.
In the bowl, yep.
Beside him as well. And he's trying to catch fish. And he says, "This is not where I expected to end up." Where did you expect to end up?
Not in the belly of a whale looking for you.
What a strange
he went to
and
look
obvious
for you
comment.
And he got swallowed by a whale.
Captain
oh,
Obvious.
Oh, God. And then, you know, we have the happy ending of the story. The blue fairy reappears, turns him into a real boy.
Yeah.
Happy,
because
happy, joy,
he,
joy.
You know, he'd shown those values.
Yeah.
So he was brave. He went after Geppetto to help. He was truthful. He pretty much sacrificed himself for Geppetto's benefit. So he was unselfish. Yeah. So good on him. Well done.
So how many, you know, whale teeth would you give this movie?
I wrote down a happy ending to a very strange and slightly disturbing tale.
Yeah.
How many what?
How many whale teeth?
How many whale teeth?
How many whales teeth?
No baleen in
no,
this movie.
No, how many whales teeth would you give this movie?
Look, I think the animation was fantastic.
Absolutely.
What I noted was that there was music pretty much right through the whole movie. And of course, that sets the tone, you know, in case you couldn't understand where it was, you know, fun and lighthearted and when it was dire.
Well, they did win an Oscar for
yeah,
best
yeah, yeah.
Sound.
So they did very well. And I would probably give it probably seven whales
seven
teeth.
Seven whales teeth?
Yeah.
I think that that's fair. Yep. I think that's fair. I'm not sure what... You know what? Maybe the critics, the 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, were watching it just purely in terms of a feat of animation. Because it's stunning.
It is.
It's beautiful. And it's definitely worth watching. But I can understand why this did not make the money that Snow White made.
Yeah.
Because it's just a really odd story.
Yep.
And it's not even the... how greatly, you know, it was animated or how beautiful it was or anything. Because if the story doesn't hold up, then what are you going to do? What have you got? Exactly. So I think that I'd be with you. I'd probably give it about 6.5 whale teeth.
I think there are a number of animated movies out there where the animation's not so great, but the storyline is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this one, I think, is where the animation's fantastic, but the storyline is lacking a little.
Yeah. It's just very odd.
Some crazy stuff.
Movie.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that about sums us up. Willow, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and I hope that everybody else has enjoyed it too. You can watch Pinocchio on Disney Plus if you're looking to watch it. Definitely check it out. It's a wild ride.
It's a laugh. Yeah.
It is a wild ride. So, definitely check it out. What did you want to say? I can see you want to say something.
I hope we didn't ruin it for
Look,
you.
I think that it's fair. This is about our opinions.
Yeah.
And my opinion of this movie is that it's weird.
Yeah.
It's really strange, but that's not the fault of Disney. It's just an odd story. Yeah. It's a really strange, strange story.
Yep. Yeah. And to the girls and boys out there, make sure you don't smoke cigars or drink beer.
Or you'll turn into a
donkey.
An ass. All right. That about sums us up for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. You can follow Presenting Pixie Dust on Instagram and Facebook. You can also send an email to presentingpixiedust@gmail.com. If you've got any ideas for any episodes or things that you'd like to hear, please shoot them through and give us a really nice rating on iTunes because that really, really helps us out. I think that's about it. Stay safe, everyone. Stay healthy, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.